Hi, this is Susie from epostle.net, welcoming you, our worldwide community, to a new episode of The Next Step with Father Vazgen. The next step is a step, a stride, moving us forward. Here, Father Vazgen provides his unique and distinctive voice for Armenian Orthodoxy, as providing an intelligent and practical answer to the challenges of life, based on the solid principles of love, faith, and hope as expressed by Jesus Christ. And most importantly, you don't have to check your brain in at the door to follow Armadoxy. It's a practical approach to melding spirit and passion in the real world. So turn up the volume and get ready to take the next step.
Welcome. It is New Year's Eve over here. It's New Year's, I know, for most of you in the world. Happy New Year. Happy 2016. Wherever you're listening from, but if you happen to be in these old backward times, like where we're at, okay, like in one of the older time zones, yeah, it still hasn't hit there. So we're in the New Year's Eve, okay? And I'm just really excited today because something really funny happened, I gotta tell you. Do you ever wonder, like, who's talking to you? This is unbelievable. Like, what are the messages that you get? Okay, so I go to sleep last night thinking that, okay, you know what? Tomorrow is New Year's Eve. Great time for new beginnings. Everything's, you know, you kind of put away the old. And I said, you know what? I'm pulling the plug on everything. I'm pulling the plug on Facebook. I'm pulling the plug on The Next Step. Everything. We're going to be pulling plugs, okay? We're going to be just be doing it. That's it. It's over. Anyway, after a little bit of talking and everything, I said, okay, Next Step will have to stay. But Facebook, I was determined, okay? This morning, I was just ready to say, okay, that's it. Pulling the plug on Facebook. You know, so what? So what? Can you exist? Can we survive without Facebook? Hey, guess what? We did it for centuries. It's a good little experiment. Why not? Okay. So anyway, I'm doing that, and I'm in this kind of mood, like end of the year. What are we putting away? What do you have to look forward to? And then I get this incredible email from somebody, a Greek gentleman. I'm going to forego his name right now. Athanasius, I should tell you. But his entire title, I really appreciate it. Thank you very, very much. Kind of like changed a lot of things this morning. I said, hey, you know what? There is a purpose for what we're doing over here. There is a purpose. This is good. Okay, this is really good. So I said, okay, we are ready to do it. And I'm sitting down at the studio. We got the whole team over here. We assembled everybody last minute. We've got the New Year's Eve special. We're ready to do it. And I sit down. And the neighbor's dogs, they just start barking away at it. And you know, like in this studio that we're at, we're in the Glendale studio this morning. Like the window is right there. So it's not soundproof. And when the dogs want to bark, you can hear it. So I'm just sitting here. I'm saying, okay, we're ready to go. I'm feeling like pumped up. I've put away all those negative thoughts. And then the dogs are just telling me, hey, shut up. Shut up. You're not going to be doing this show. Anyway, I had the laugh and I said, no, we're starting. So welcome. Okay, it is New Year's Eve. It happens to be New Year's wherever you're listening to this show. I take this opportunity to wish you a very happy and healthy New Year. All the best to you in this New Year. It's a beautiful day because it happens to be between the two traditional celebrations of Christmas, December 25th and January 6th coming up. And it's an opportunity for us to say, may the newness of the New Year be filled with the blessings of the Christ child. And if you think about that Christ child, what is that if not newness? So we'll be talking a little bit about newness. I've got a great song for you coming up in a few minutes. Yeah, we've got a little bit of background story to it, too. It's, I'll wait. Just you'll have to hold off on that. But you'll get to hear it first over here, okay? So that's coming up as a New Year's special for you. I want to share with you some of the things that happened over the past week. I know it was Christmas. People celebrated Christmas throughout the world. And as you know, here at in Glendale, as you know, if you've been listening to Next Step, I'm really not the person to deal with dates. It's interesting because, you know, I mean, seriously, think about it, folks. I mean, Christmas, December 25th. I mean, shepherds in the field, wouldn't it be just like freezing out there? Who knows when Christmas was? Who knows when Jesus was born? What is important for the Christian is not the date. It's the idea that Christ is coming into our lives. That Christ is, that God loves us so much. He cares about us so much that he doesn't forget us. And he gives us his only begotten. And that takes place not on December 25th. It should take place every single day of your life. And yes, January 6th, it is a holy, it is a sacred day for me. I will bend on my knees. We will be celebrating the divine liturgy. But you know what? It means nothing if on January 7th, if that Christ child isn't once again born in my life. If on the 8th, he isn't once again born. Namely, the Christ child, Jesus Christ, as God incarnate, that is love incarnate, being born and born in our lives constantly, is really what this is all about. Because Christ challenges us to be the living testimony, the living witnesses to his love. Well, what is that love? It's unending. It's unceasing, right? No limits. Can we possibly do that? No, we can't. But we can try. And that's the challenge that the Christian has been called to spread love as much as he or she can, as much as he or she is able to do it. Now, I know that there's a condition in there, right? The ability condition, as much as you're able, as much as you can, it's difficult. I know sometimes it gets difficult. And I think that's what one of the things that always people come in and talk to me about. They pick that out of my sermons or of our preaching, is that we don't put that pressure on them. Yes, you know, I've always said this. One of the beautiful things about Armenian Orthodoxy is the saints and the idea that the saints aren't gods. They're not God. They're people like us. They're just simple people that have been able to kind of react to the God message and lift themselves up. And this is important because, you know, when we start comparing ourselves with Christ, you're always going to be a failure. You're never going to make it because Christ is perfect in all things that he did, in everything that he spoke, in everything that he acted, in all the actions that he took, went up on the cross. You can't compare yourself to that. But when you start looking at the saints' eye, now you have an example who is just like you, right? Has a problem, has difficulties, maybe has a mortgage, maybe has an insurance payment, but something comparable, right? Something in his or her own set of circumstances that was difficult to overcome, but somehow overcame it with the power of God, with the understanding that God is with him or her. And, you know, one of the things about these saints is that unfortunately in the Armenian Church, because of the oppression, because of what we've been through for the last 600-700 years, we haven't had the opportunity to really develop the entire idea of sainthood. The last saint we had was, I believe it was the Datevatsis back in the 15th or 16th century. And then the new group of saints came. This year, 2015, the new group of saints came 2015, and that took place in Holy Etchmiadzin on April 23rd, when they declared the martyrs of the Armenian Genocide as saints. Now, why is this important? Well, obviously for the growth of the church, for the ecclesiastically, for people, this is important. But for us, for you and me, just sitting here and looking out at the church, and we're saying that, oh, there's these saints over here. Why are they important? Why are the martyrs? Why is it important that we label them as saints? Ah, that's what we're going to be talking about, by the way. We're going to be talking about what courage means. You like that? I thought that would be a perfect theme at the end of the year, beginning of the new year. How about courage, okay? But think about this for a moment. These saints, these are people just like you and me. But they were able to do something in their lives that catapulted them, that moved them beyond their human condition. And albeit that was a tough one, a martyrdom. But here we have an opportunity to look and see that in our lives too. We have an ability to sacrifice, to give of ourselves, to share of ourselves, to offer ourselves, to offer the love that God has placed in our hearts to others. And so too, we find an inspiration, and so too, we have this opportunity to rise from our condition. And isn't this really the basic struggle of humankind? You're always trying to rise from your condition. Unfortunately, we get so screwed up because we're thinking about, oh, I have to get ahead. Rising means upward mobility. It means financially secure. When really the purest and most important treasures you already have. They're already in your heart. And it's a matter of just making those treasures shine, making those treasures come out. And that's really a challenge. It's not an easy one. It's not an easy one. We sit back and we go to our churches, we light candles, we say prayers, but we fail to understand the central message that's coming to us, that God has an opportunity for us. When Christ came, he said, there is no rich, there is no poor. We are all one. There is no such thing as a chosen person. You are God's child. You are all God's. And you have this opportunity to be in communion with God. You have this opportunity to see a beautiful world. And what you have around you, this temporal existence, is not make-believe. It's not for nothing. It's important that you understand that in this temporal life, that you strive for that peace. Peace on earth, goodwill to men. The angel said it when Jesus was born. It's not just some make-believe statement. It's not just some Hallmark slogan. It's something that is really attainable here in this world. There can be peace, but it begins with us. Us understanding who we are, what the purpose of our life is. The purpose of that life to be motivated by love, to be motivated and inspired by sacrifice, by giving. And we in turn do the same. And we see that there, inevitably, there comes a harmony in life. Because you can't fight somebody who is just giving you stuff, right? You can't fight that person. You can fight the person who's holding back from you, but you can't fight that person who's just giving you stuff. Okay, you want it here? I wanted to fight you. No, here it is. See what I mean? Think about it for a moment, okay? These are just thoughts. Think about them. Okay, so we're going to be talking a little bit about courage. Because I think that when we're talking about change, it takes courage. When I think about newness, when I think about these saints. Now, this year was the 100th anniversary of the Armenian Genocide. These saints were appointed, and I think it was just beautifully done. It was beautifully done for this year. And if we don't take advantage of it, which is tragically we're not, you know, because the mindset of people are, oh, this is nice. You did something. Okay, this looks nice. We have a new decoration. We now have a new icon that we can look at. No, that's not what it's about. It's finding that inspiration. Last Sunday, our archbishop gave dispensation to all the priests, gave them an opportunity to consecrate the icon. I did so at our St. Peter Church in Glendale. It was a beautiful, beautiful ceremony, I have to tell you. You could see the people were singing along. They were part of it. They were very inspired. Got a lot of comment about it. The sermon is available somewhere. Let's see. We'll make a note, see if we could put it up on the show notes. I would strongly suggest listening to it. It was just a beautiful day. And at the end of it, we consecrated this icon. And the icon now sits in our church. It'll have a formal place where people could come and venerate. And at the conclusion of it, the service is that the priest will sense it and then venerate it with a kiss. And I knelt down, and it was a very, very, very moving experience at that point. Because you're moving, you're kneeling. Not before just a picture, but everything that belongs to that picture, the history that comes with that picture, to the people that come with that picture, to the faith of that people that come with that picture. And that's a very, very special moment. Anyway, we'll see if we can get that picture up on the show notes. Maybe it'll be the cover picture of today's episode, okay? So that's from Sunday's event. So we have this new icon dedicated to the saints, the 1.5 million martyrs of the Armenian Genocide, the new saints of the Armenian Church, who need to inspire us. And if we just let them go, and if we continue business as usual, well, what is it? It's basically the old year. You haven't moved from 2015 to 2016, right? But if you can take that and change, what happens? You move to 2016. So you wake up and you say, Happy New Year. It is a new year. I've got a special treat for you right now. We're going to do the song of the day and then come back with some more. So what I've got for you today is something a little bit different. Actually, I don't know why it's a little bit different. It's quite the same as what we do every week, right? It's something different. Anyway, this comes to us from the Naghash Ensemble of Armenia, Songs of Exile, Volume 2. And I'm going to put a link on our show notes. There will be a link to the Kickstarter page that they're trying to raise funds. I want you to go there. Watch the video on there, because the video will explain what this is all about. It's a fascinating story of a musician going to Armenia, traveling there, hearing, absorbing, and then translating this in a very refreshing and new manner. So really, really want you to go to the show notes and check out that video. But let me play the song first, and then I'll come back and tell you some more about it. Here is Naghash playing Akautyan. Thank you. okay, I know you got your interest. How was that? Wasn't that incredible? Just a beautiful, beautiful song. And like I said earlier, you need to go to the show notes today and check out Nagash Ensemble. Check out their page, their Kickstarter program. Most of all, listen to the video. Listen to the experiment that was taking place and how this music came to be. The song, this song that we heard, Agavutian, is a pre-released copy from the upcoming album, The Song of Exile, Volume 2. And the music is really composed by the artist John Hodian, based on text from the 15th century Armenian mystic poet and priest, Magardish Nagash. You remember that, okay? Gotta get that. Now, I've been telling you all along, okay? Where do these inspirations come from? Even Sayat Nova! We forget Sayat Nova was a priest. And let me say parenthetically, because I know we've got a listener over there in the Netherlands. I would venture to say that it was the Rabbis of the time, right? Okay, I digress. But we forget that Gumidas Vartabed, I mean that title, Vartabed, he's a priest. Okay, there is inspiration that goes beyond this temporal existence. And you got to catch it. And I think you heard it just a few minutes ago. Let me read you a little bit of something that Susie wrote up in preparation for today's show. Talking about the priest, Magardish Nagash. Nagash's words, while written centuries ago, are just as relevant today. And the music is both deeply rooted in Armenian culture and reimagined for the 21st century. Sounds right up our alley, doesn't it? Susie's going to try to put an interview together, hopefully, in the next few weeks. But right now, in the meantime, there is an opportunity for you to receive a new CD and the book to learn more about this exciting project. So do visit the show notes today, and there will be a link that will direct you to the Nagash Ensemble of Armenia. And like I tell you all the time, right? You got to support these people. It's fantastic, right? How else is the world going to hear about them? We got to take that first step. It's the next step. Take it. Well, we are at the new year. Probably it's already happened to you. It's your few days maybe into the new year. By the time you hear this podcast, whatever the case may be, newness always brings us opportunities to change, to reflect, to take some steps forward. But they also require a great deal of courage, don't they? Huh? If you want to do it right, you need some courage. And that's where I want to that's what I want to address today, that issue of courage. There's an interesting statement that popped out at me, I would say, good 40 years ago. It was one day I'll share with you. Probably somewhere along the way I have shared it with you. But it comes to us from the Gospel of John. And in it, Jesus, in his farewell address to his disciples, he's sitting around the table at the Last Supper, and Jesus addresses them, and he ends his talk with them by saying, "Courage, the victory is mine. I have overcome this world." Wow. He's telling them to be brave, to hang in there. There's going to be all kinds of trials, tribulations, but courage. In this world, you will have tribulations, but courage. The victory is mine. I have overcome this world. Overcome it. In other translations, I have conquered it. In Armenian, Hakhbetsi, I have conquered this world. Wow. Courage. Let's talk a little bit about that, okay? Because I think with today's, the way we talk about it today, we get into that military gear. And we forget that it's not about swords and shields and guns and this is how we express courage. But real courage comes from within. And that courage is something that is tamed by our emotions. Yes, it's an emotional, it takes courage to fall in love, for instance. It takes courage to express yourself in a loving relationship. Yes, it's not an easy thing. The easy thing is to shelter yourself, to be within. It takes courage to stand up and say that I care. I want to share myself. I want to share my being with you. That takes courage, doesn't it? In fact, just all around us, there's so many examples of courage. But let's talk about this one. If you were to sit back and look at Jesus at that moment, the Last Supper, among his disciples, you'd say, what victory is there that he's talking about courage? What victory? I mean, he's already condemned to die. He's going to be going up on a cross. He's going to be bleeding. He's going to be whipped. He's going to be mocked. And then his worn-out body is going to be brought down and put into a grave. That's a victory? Okay, now that's the story that people see, right? So what is the courage? The courage is that Christ stood up and he said that, right? There's the courage. He says, courage, the victory is mine. What? What victory? We don't see it. But he knew it. He knew it deep down. Do you remember a couple months ago I shared with you this story about we were at the homeless shelter, and there I met this African-American woman who was sheltering a small little piece of herself under her arms. And when we got a closer view, we found out it was a five-day-old child. She had this child in the shelter. This child was born in the shelter. And I shared with you my emotional reflection on that. And you know, basically Jesus was born in a shelter, wasn't he? Jesus was born in that manger, that first homeless shelter, because there was no room in the inn. And in this woman, I saw the Mother Mary. I mean, think about it. She's sitting there in a shelter. And what does she have? She has courage to look on at the new day. And as I shared with you, I started talking with her and I asked her, what's the name of the child? And this blew my mind. She says, I've named him King. I mean, imagine that. Imagine the audacity of somebody living in a shelter naming their child King. I mean, by every other term, everybody would say, what king? This is a pauper. This is somebody who's in a homeless shelter. How dare you call him king? That takes courage. The courage to believe in tomorrow. The courage to believe that you're going to find something better than the state you're in right now. That's the real courage. When Jesus says, courage, the victory is mine. Is he looking at that crucifixion in front of him? No, he's looking at something greater than that. Knowing that that crucifixion is going to lead to that resurrection. Knowing that there is that resurrection and having that certainty, that's where that courage comes in. And that's what's really thrown out at us at this new year. Do you want that courage? Now think about what happened with the 100th anniversary of the Armenian genocide. I shared with you a few moments ago. We consecrated the icon. The icon depicts the martyrs of 1915. Do you know what our Catholicos labeled the Miron? Hakdanagi Miron. This year he consecrated the holy oil. The holy oil, the symbol of the Holy Spirit, gives life to the inanimate. And we consecrated this icon with that holy Miron. So that icon now started breathing, started speaking. And that icon needs to speak. All icons speak. This icon was speaking to me and to the congregation on Sunday as we consecrated it. Why? Because the Holy Spirit was touching it. The holy Miron. And our Catholicos named that Miron the Miron of Victory. Think about that for a moment, right? The audacity. What? The audacity to name it Victory? When you're looking out at your people and you're saying you're all over the world, You're looking out and you're saying that, hey, 3/4 of your land is occupied by the enemy. When you're looking out at the people and seeing the suffering, how dare you call it victory? But what is the victory? It's looking beyond that crucifixion. It's looking beyond that and looking and seeing the resurrection that's out there. Do you know what they called the Armenians back in 1915 and the years following? 1935, National Geographic. I remember seeing this particular issue. 1935 depicted the Armenians in a rather tragic position, much like you see today on World Vision posters of children in Africa. And it said, the starving Armenians. This is just 10 years, 20 years after the genocide. They had already labeled us as starving Armenians. Hey, guess what? The starving Armenians, you know what we do at our church? We have regular homeless feeds. Starving Armenians are feeding not just Armenians, people. Do you know what my good friend Opgar? Hey, big shout out to you guys, all of you. The Exodus Outreach, 3,000 people. They fed Christmas Eve. What is that? What is that? Is that a failure or is that victory? Starving Armenians, feeding people, is that a victory? Okay, this is what Christ is talking about. This is the purest form of courage. Courage, the victory is mine. I have overcome the world. Get over it. Get over your suffering. You've got to have courage and move forward. And I think this is the message that really has to hit us on this New Year's Day. It's that you look at your life and you look at what's ahead of you. Have that courage to take on life. Yeah, it's not going to be easy. Yeah, there are crucifixions. There are sufferings in the life. But the bigger picture is so much more. It's so prettier. Last Sunday's scriptural passage came to us from the gospel in which Jesus talked about a person who had given talents. And it's a very interesting, that particular passage came out last Sunday. Why? What was it about? It was about that man who goes away and he gives an amount of money to each of his servants. And to the first one, he gave a certain amount. And the guy said, here, you've come back. I'm giving you double what you gave me. To the other one, he gives an amount. He says, here, I'm giving you one more. But the third guy, he's so scared. He takes what the master had given him. He wraps it up in a small little handkerchief and he shoves it in his pocket. Now, you don't blame that guy, right? Right? I mean, he said, I'm scared of you. You're going to come back. You're going to demand your money back. I'm scared of you. I'm scared to lose it. And he takes it and he wraps it in an envelope, in a handkerchief, and he shoves it in his pocket. And of the three people, this is the one that Jesus pokes out and he says, "Ambidanzara." And trust me, you don't want to be on the receiving end of an ambidan coming from Jesus. It's like, damn you, man. I gave you something and you blew it. You stuck it in your pocket. I gave you life. I gave you this opportunity to live. And you're so scared. Have courage. Have that courage. Yeah, I know. We have reasons to be scared. It's not an easy life. There's a lot of stuff that is out there. A lot of things to be fearful of. But what is that courageous step? It's looking at the entire picture, looking at the crucifixion in front of you and realizing that there is a resurrection in front of that. Because listen, resurrection is not possible without crucifixion. That's one of those armadoxy axioms, okay? Yeah, armadoxy at its best. There is no resurrection without crucifixion. And so the courage that Christ demands of us is to look beyond, is to really stand up and feel good about yourself in whatever condition you happen to be in. Realizing that if Christ, at the verge of going up on that cross, of going through all of those hurdles, was able to say, the victory is mine. I have overcome the world. To realize that a small woman in a homeless shelter has nothing, nothing to her name except a few odds and ends inside of a purse, and names her child King. That's courage, to know that she believes in the victory. To know that a Catholicos gets up, knowing that his people are all around the world, knowing that his country is divided and most of it belongs to other people and the people are out on the sidelines, but says, courage. This is the muron of victory. You see that there is an opportunity to look beyond your set of circumstances and see the bigger picture. By the way, you know, I talked about the starving Armenians feeding the homeless. That's just part of it. Do you know where I live right now? California. Most of the fertile land in all of America is in the California Central Valley. It feeds not only the United States, but feeds most of the world with fruits and vegetables. Guess who owns that land? Starving Armenians feeding the world. Victory. Have courage. The victory is mine. And I think that that's really a message that has to resound within the life of the Christian, and definitely at this new year. You see, when we talk here on The Next Step, we talk about Armadoxy, we talk about the mystic powers that are all around us, of God working within us. It also requires us to react with God. And that's some, unfortunately, a part of Christianity that gets overlooked. We always talk about something from outside coming and touching us. No, we have to also touch the divine. We have to lift ourselves up. I mean, remember Jesus going up to Peter and saying, who do people say that I am? He says, well, people think you're this and that. And then Jesus says, well, who do you say that I am? Like, it's important that you react too. Remember the paraplegic. Jesus goes up to him and says, do you want to be healed? Well, like, no, duh. Of course. Yeah, of course. Why do you think I've come to you? Why? I'm on the thing. No, I want to hear it from you. I want to hear it. I want to have you recognize what you need in your life. In other words, our reaction to God. And so too, as we look out in the new year, we have prayers, we have wishes for the new year, but it also requires us to be interacting with that God force that is inside of us. You know, I think a lot of times that God force is just basically, unfortunately, sleeping within each of us. We all have it inside of us. And the real courage is to wake it up. It could be scary, I know that. Once it wakes up, you start doing stuff that you couldn't imagine you were doing. It is scary, but wake it up. That's perhaps the best wish for the new year. Listen, in front of me, I have quite a bit of things. I have some scary things going on too, including where we're going with this ministry. And that is a big one. And I would appreciate all of your prayers too. That prayer for courage, it is an important one. It's one that I throw out to you, and I ask in return that you remember me also in your prayers. Let me let Susie make her announcement. I'll be back in just a couple moments.
This is Susie for In His Shoes Ministries. Before continuing with today's broadcast, I wanted to take this opportunity to remind you that this podcast is made possible through your prayers and generous donations. The message of Armenian Orthodoxy, or as Father Vazgen calls it, Armadoxy, is giving people an intelligent and practical answer to many of life's difficulties. At epostle.net, we are determined to bring apostolic evangelism to an electronic world. This means we must avail ourselves to technology's latest tools. Your donations help us expand and deliver this message to a waiting world. Please support us by pressing on the donate button at epostle.net. Thanks for listening and God bless. We now return to this week's Next Step with Father Vazquez.
Well, thank you, Susie, and thank you, all of you, for a beautiful year that we spent together going through. This is the end of the year. You know what I do tonight? I get out to the annual Rose Parade. I have to be fortunate enough to live right on the parade route. It's right down the street from me. So first of all, I see all the crazies who are out all night partying, and they're right out on the street. But early in the morning, we get out and we walk right over to the Rose Parade, which is basically down the block. I mean, you can see it from our house. So you can just kind of walk a few houses down and there it is. And it's exciting. Been doing this now ever since we've been living there for 19 years. Tonight, I am invited to a wedding, and we want to wish our best to Vache Nur on the New Beginnings. Our stay there is going to be rather short. We're going to be back in Pasadena to watch the parade and do some other odds and ends that take courage. It has been a difficult year, but I do want to thank all of you for your prayers, your support. They go a long way. Among all the difficulties, as we reflect on the past year, we've had some very, very beautiful moments, including the 100th anniversary of the Armenian genocide. Beautiful moment in that we recognized it beyond this tragic event and saw the power in there. Just yesterday, we happened to be at a dance workshop run by Shake Major Chilingirian. She was in town from London. She was doing this dance workshop for Merhuis, a program that works with young girls to prevent trafficking and prostitution in Armenia. So we were with her, and she happened to be in church on Sunday and noticed this poster. And you know what? Yesterday we were in the dance line. She was teaching us this folk dance in. She came up and she put the microphone in front of me and said, "What is that statement and that I saw in your church?" And it caught me off guard and took me a minute to figure it out. But when I did figure it out, I realized, wow, what an impact that was. It's a three-liner. It says, "Harkel ansiala janachel nergan yevgerdel abakan." To honor the past. To honor the past. To recognize today and to forge or to build the future. And that's really been the motto that we threw out. I've been very thankful that His Eminence, the Archbishop here in California in the Western Diocese, allowed me to make this the motto for the work that we did within the Western Diocese during this centennial anniversary. But it really hit me when she asked me about those words, that how influential this is, that we have changed the mindset, at least not of the world, not of the Armenians, but there is a small core of people, and you included, Next Steppers, that are realizing we cannot live in the past. You can honor the past, but there isn't anything in the world. Anything. Listen to me really carefully. There isn't anything you can do to change that past. You can honor it. As for today, well, you can recognize it, where we're at right now. And with that honor and that recognition of where we're at today, you start building your tomorrows. You start dreaming of your tomorrows and you start building them. That's the opportunity that's given to you as a human being. Not to dwell in the past, but really to move forward. To move forward with honoring the past, the goodness that came out of there, recognizing where you're at today, and realizing that it's all in your hands. The vision that you have, it's easy. Make it work. whether you're talking as a community, you're talking as a nation, or you're talking individually, for your family life, for your own personal life. It's all the same formula. It's a formula that's wrapped up around with courage. And we got a big year that went by, 2015. It was a banner year. I look at all the wonderful things personally, too. We saw our son get married. We got a new daughter-in-law on top of it. Pretty cool, huh? And when you look at all the things that happened with our ministry, the expansion of Epostle, of In His Shoes, of at least talking, do you know that I am so excited right now? And I, you don't know, sometimes tears come to my eyes when I get up at Armenian events and people start talking about other genocides. When they start talking about other people and Armenians are no longer victims, but we are victors. Do you know what a transition that is? That didn't happen overnight, folks. It happened with a very special power. It happened with a very dedicated commitment to the real gospel. And that's what Epostle is all about. It's Armodoxy. It's Armenian Orthodoxy without the hoopla, okay? It's just the essence of it. And I want to thank you from the bottom of my heart for your friendship, for your loyalty, for all the goodness, for all your prayers and donations to make this work. We are set to welcome in the new year here on the West Coast, wherever you are. May God's blessings be with you. This is still the season of Christmas. May the blessings of the Christ Child, the freshness of the Christ Child, be with each and every one of you today and always. On behalf of the wonderful crew who put together today's show, and always with us, Susie, our producer, Ken, our engineer, this is Father Voskin, inviting you to join us again next week when we will take the next step.
And now here's the fine print.
The information and comments presented within this podcast and our website do not necessarily represent the views of the Armenian Church hierarchy, but are presented as a challenge to define the dynamics of Armenian Orthodoxy in all aspects of life. Listening to these shows is habit-forming. Addictive behavior associated with the next step is rarely, if ever, remedied. Rather, the next step is known to relieve and cure common cases of narrow-mindedness, prejudice, numbskullness, and glaucoma in patients over the age of 20. Results may vary depending on credit rating. Findings are based on double-blind studies conducted in Istanbul and Jerusalem. Side effects include mind expansion, clarity of focus, higher rates of heart palpitations, sensitivity to the pain of others, and occasional nausea. The management and production crew of epostle.net take full responsibility for changes you will experience. Not valid with any other offer.
Anything else?
Jesus is the reason of the season.